So again, quickly review. So again, basically, Gemara wants to know what's the if you do the beginning of the bracha, you do it with the wrong intent, right? Just thinking the wrong bracha, and then you correct it at the end. So the beginning, the question is it okay or not? Do you go by the beginning and say since the beginning was messed up, it's like the whole thing was the wrong bracha and it's bad, or you say no, you go by the end and the end is good and it's okay. And again, the cause of the beginning, the ikar. So we said because the essence of every bracha is the recognition of God. This God is Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. But you use the vehicle of realizing that is the particular thing at hand, like a fruit or whatever it is. So the bracha, you enunciate both components. You have to say the recognition of God and then make it particular through this fruit or whatever, fruits. So, but the essence of the bracha is definitely the ultimate objective of the bracha is really the opening. Okay, so now if that's the case, our question is, so what's the question? Conceptually, whether which one you go, whether the bracha is going to, this bracha is going to be good. And I guess one question was that, look, if the whole beginning is a generic realization of God as Melech HaOlam, so then who really cares that at the beginning you were thinking the wrong thing or not? Why is that relevant? Right? Okay. But the question is basically, what's the question conceptually? And the harder side is the side to say this would be bad because the simplest argument. I mean, maybe we're going to have to make it a little less simple later. But is that, look, who cares what you're thinking? What you said is what you said. So you said, I think you just said good, is your words are expressions of, the way your das is expressed through your words, and your words are generic words, who cares what you're thinking, what you said, what you said. So the question is, who are the other side, right? You go by the ikar. But Rashi says that because, since you said that you're thinking this in the ikar, it's as if you finished with that. Since the beginning of the bracha, you're thinking it as if you finished with that. So what do you have to say? At least if we take it in steps. What do you have to say, according to that side? Good, so a basic. I think just the first basic thing we have to say, according to the way Rashi is learning, at least according to this side, is that the beginning, even though you're saying, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, the words are the same exact words, that has a character to it. It's a Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam of Hagafen. It's a Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam of Ha'etz, of Shahakol. Right? That's what it is, right? That it has a conceptual character to it based upon your Kavana, based upon your Das, right? And your intent. We have to explain that a little bit, but that just halachically you have to say that. And now, if you do say that, then you could say, well, so now you have a little bit of a conflict because you have a bracha where the beginning of it has the character of the wrong thing. The ikar of it has a character of the wrong thing. The end of it has a character of the right thing. So now what's going to win out? So then already it's easier to see that, well, the beginning is the more important thing. That's the ikar. So if you have the wrong, and then it's as if you said the whole thing with the beginning. Because, you have a clash between the beginning and the end. The beginning is more important. So the whole thing, you can't have a bracha which has to do with fighting definitions. So I mean, what's the character of the bracha? So is the character of the bracha going to be determined by the beginning or by the end? You could see a good argument, well, the beginning is the ikar. So if you have that's the essence of the bracha. So therefore, that the character, that's going to define the character of the thing. So it's like you said the wrong bracha. You said hagafen. Hagafen doesn't work for beer. Right? But it seems that the premise that you have to take is that the beginning has a character to it. Right, the beginning is not just the recognition of God in the abstract. Right, because then it's not a recognition of God. Like it was your question yesterday. It's not just an abstract recognition of God. Because then, what do you mean? The beginning isn't a God, and the beginning isn't anything. It doesn't have any kalk. Then there's no right. It doesn't have a quality. Once it has a quality, then the thing is going to run. But it would seem to be the premise of this side is that the beginning has a quality. Now. And we have to define this. We have to get into what the sense to it is. But I'm just saying, mechanically, kind of, And then the question is, the other side could either... There's two ways to go on the other side. Well, you see that? Well, it's two ways to go on the other side. I mean, again, we're not Svaras yet. I mean, we're kind of just giving, kind of an outline. And this is kind of methodology a little bit, just following just good steps. But if you'd say that this side holds, that the beginning has a character to it, And then, and then the Iker, defines the whole bracha. Okay, so one option is the other side holds that the beginning doesn't have a character to it. The beginning is generic. Doesn't have a character to it.
Or it does have a character, but regardless, you have to go by what you said.
Right, or it does have a character to it, but he doesn't, he holds, when you have a clash between the Iker and the end, so then the end is going to win out, because that's what it was explicit. Even though the beginning has a character, the character comes from your thoughts, as opposed to the character of the end, which is explicit. So you can say when you have a face-off between those two, that you can kind of see as a question, is if you have a face-off between two parts of the bracha, one of them is the ikar, but the other one is explicit, so what takes the cake? What defines the bracha? Define the bracha based upon the ikar of the bracha, or based upon that which is explicit? Right? That you can see as a question. But I think, or you could see a question as, you could question, does the ikar have a character to it? Right? Do you say that it's just a recognition of God in the abstract, or does it have a character? Right? A character to it. What we can just do is, we're almost there. So far we haven't said that much, but we're almost there, I think. But, could we give some sort of justification about, why should it have a character? Because that's kind of the answer we were assuming it didn't have a character to it, right? So, could we just get inside, or maybe let's say as a question, certainly plausible to ask that question, is does the Iker have a character or does it not have a character? Even if both sides hold it does, it's still, we had a Havmina that it doesn't. So it's certainly like a question. Does the beginning have a character, does it not? So could we just flesh that out? Why should it have a character? Why wouldn't it have a character? Could we just explain that a little bit more? But it's a problem. It's difficult. You can't just say the beginning has a character. That's why. Why do you need something more? You could just say, look, we already have a good Sfara now. It's bothersome. Because why should the beginning have a character? The whole idea of the beginning is an abstract recognition of the Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. So is that, there's no idea of Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam of Geffen. No, it's Shem Kenoch HaOlam, which you make specific, and you tie it into the word Pergafen, and that's the Edah Hasima is where it has the character. But the beginning, the beginning shouldn't have a character. The beginning should be, if your idea of Shem Kenoch HaOlam is the grape god, you're lacking in your recognition of Shem Kenoch HaOlam. On a personal highest level, when he's saying Shem Kenoch HaOlam, he shouldn't be focusing on grapes, he should be thinking about, it would seem he should be focusing on the highest idea of God. Think he's the Melech HaOlam, the entire world he's the king of. That's a whole different, that's a much deeper, much bigger idea. So why should you say that the beginning has a character? But I'm just saying is that I think you have to say that. If you don't say that, then then you can't explain Rashi. It just doesn't make any sense. But that's what I'm saying. It's good methodology, I think, leads you to say that. But you kind of need a svara to justify it. I like the way Jonah was saying it. I think it's... it's good. Based on what we said yesterday, I think it is good. Is that that you can't? The essence of the bracha is recognition of Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, right? Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. It's the essence of every bracha. But you can't just go around all day long just saying Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. You know how to do that. Can't make it regular speech. You just always go from saying Shem Hashem, praising God. It has to be a certain type of. You need a permit to praise God. And the permit is the Chazal set up brachos, and they use, the permit is that you have certain experiences in life that move you, and so Chazal said that you should use these experiences to bring you towards the recognition of God. So the right to say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam is the Borei Pri HaGafen, is the Shakalim Dvaro, is whatever it is. Without that, a person can't just go around. You have to. There should have a certain awe of God, and you shouldn't just. It's not just like words off the tip of your tongue. A person has to have a reason and a right to praise God, and that's the takana, which is based upon the mechayev of the of eating the fruits or whatever it is. You're seeing the thunder, or you're doing a mitzvah, whatever the case is. So you have no right. The permit is. Permit of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam is the Borei Pri HaGafen. Okay? So now the question is, do you say that the permit is the Matir. Do you say that the Matir is that it's a Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam of the HaGafen? There's the permit, and you can't say, the right to say the Iker is that the Iker, it has a character of the Matir. That is the conceptual character thing. You can't just say Baruch Hashem Kenei Olam. How could you say it? Because this isn't Baruch Hashem Kenei Olam. This is Baruch Hashem Kenei Olam built on the Matir, and that is its character. It's Hashem Kenei Olam of the Hagafen, which is going to follow. Or do you say no? Is that the Matir is just the halacha and the gavra? That the person has no right just to say Baruch Hashem Kenei Olam. The only right you have to say it is that you're gonna say Yivrei Pirei Hagafen. That's what you're going to do, and that's why you're saying it. So that's the only right to say it. But it doesn't mean that the Baruch Hashem Kenei Olam has a character to it. It's an abstract recognition of God, totally in the abstract. Now, again, you have no right to make this expression without the impetus, without the cause, and the mechayev of the Gafen. But the expression itself is totally in the abstract. Or do you say that the matir, the permit, actually permeates the very Baruch Hashem Kenei Olam, and the Baruch Hashem Kenei Olam can't exist without the matir built into it. Not just a permit. See, a permit could mean like it gives the person permission, or it can mean it's like a built-in permit, that the character of the permit is that you're not just saying Baruch Hashem Kenei Olam. You can never say Baruch Hashem Kenei Olam. You could say Baruch Hashem Kenei Olam of the Rebbe Yagafen. You can't just go and make an expression of God in the abstract. But it's the character of the thing itself is that of the matir. So is the matir built into the very chafza of the bracha, or is the matir just a matir for the gavra to say it? But it's not part of the conceptual structure of the bracha itself, of the ikar itself. Maybe you can look at it like that. Is that what's the house of the character? It's the Baruch Hashem Kenei Melecho Olam, which is the beginning of the Borei Pirei Hagafen. Its existence is. It's not just an existence like that. Is it an existence? I'm just saying Baruch Hashem Kenei Melecho Olam. It just exists. It's a praise of God in the abstract. Or do you say that you have no right to say that? You have a right to say it insofar as its character is the beginning of Borei Pirei Hagafen. So its character, that's the permit. The permit is that its identity is the beginning of Borei Pirei Hagafen. That's my right to do it. So if that's the permit is that is its conceptual identity, the beginning of Borei Pirei Hagafen. So now I started off with the beginning of Borei Pirei Hagafen. So now I finished the thing with Shaakal. Okay, fine, but now I have the contradiction between the character. The beginning, it was the beginning of Borei Pirei Hagafen. In the end, there's Shaakal, so now I have a clash. So say the Iker is going to win out. You know what I mean? So if the permit is that the definition of the Shevach is halachically, of course philosophically thinking about Kenei Melecho Olam, but halachically its identity is the beginning, the Haskalah of Borei Pirei Hagafen, then as a character. Or do you say no, it's not, the permit is not that it is the beginning of, the permit is that I am doing it because the cause of me doing it is because I'm going to say Borei Pirei Hagafen. But it doesn't mean that is the conceptual character of the Shevach. The conceptual character of the Shevach is totally an abstract recognition of God. I just don't have a right to do it, if not then for the fact that I'm going to finish that way. So again, just because that's my permit doesn't mean that imbues the scholar with that character. It doesn't mean that the Iker has a character of the beginning of, you know, the beginning of Borei Pirei Hagafen. Once it has that character, you know, once it's identity, that's the question, like, how far does the, I mean, you could see the question, it's like, is it just that you have a right to do it, and once you have a right, you have a right, or you say, no, that even in the very utterance itself, you don't have a right to do it, but for the fact that it has that conceptual character to it. It's like, that's how far the matir goes, is that it's not just that you have a right to do it. Even in your right, it has that conceptual character to it. It's built in. But it's a halacha question. I mean, it's a halacha question. It's how is the matir formulated? Is the matir formulated just as it's a matir for the gavra to do it, or the matir is that the very chatzah's identity is the ikar's identity is a haskala of the beginning of the chasima. In which case, it has a character to it. And in which case, you can have a clash between characters, and you're going to go by the ikar. But if you say it doesn't have a character to it, it's just that the gavra needs a permit. Fine, so that's my permit. My permit is that I was going to say this. Right? My permit is that I was going to make that bracha. But now it turns out that I was going to eat this thing. I thought it was the wrong thing, but whatever. But now the character of the thing is going to be defined by the chasima. So therefore, the bracha is fine. So it's true. I was mistaken. You'll say, look, I was mistaken in my permit. I thought my permit was this, and I thought, but whatever. Bottom line is, I had a permit. I was eating something, and this thing I was going to have enough, and whatever it was, I had a permit. But the permit doesn't have a character to it. The character is defined by the chasima. That's one way to define it. So that's what I mean. Do you go by the? That's why Rashi says that. Do you go by the? And Max, this kind of gets what you're saying is that do you, this way is maybe it's bothersome to you, your question, but. Is that the go by the ikar, which means the ikar has a character to it, in which case when you have a clash, that's why Rashi says it's like the whole thing, it's like you finished with that, because you have a clash between the ikar and the end, so you define it, but the ikar is more significant, so that's going to define it. Or do you say you go by the chasima? And the go by the chasima means that the beginning doesn't have a character to it. So therefore, how do you define the bracha? You define the bracha not by the beginning, you define the chasima by the... not by what you were thinking your permit was, you define it by that which gives the bracha its character, which is the chasima. It's a little loose in whether you go by the beginning or you go by the end. Go by the beginning means you have a clash between two things and you go by the beginning, by the ikar. Go by the end means that the beginning doesn't have a character to it, so therefore you go by the define the bracha based upon the end because the beginning is neutral, doesn't have a character. You know, but it is good though, because Rashi, that was what you mentioned yesterday, is that Rashi doesn't say, and this kind of the Gemara sounds like they're equal sides, but Rashi says if you say you go by the ikar, then it says if you finished with the with the ikar. But he doesn't say in the when he says you go by the chasima, it says if you were thinking the chasima in the beginning, he doesn't do that. So you could argue is no, you don't. If you say you go by the end, it's not because the end is more significant than it defines the beginning. But it's because the end is the only thing that has a character. The beginning is just your permit. The bracha isn't defined by the end. The bracha of the beginning is just generic recognition of Malach HaOlam. So that doesn't have a character to it. So the chasima is what defines it. So you go, in terms of defining the bracha, you define it by the chasima. That's what it's leaning on. Do you define it by the chasima or by the ikar? And that depends upon whether the ikar has a character. If the ikar has a character, you define it by the ikar. If the ikar doesn't have a character to it, then you define it by the chasima. That's one way to learn. The other way to learn, I think, is the way we said before, is that really everyone agrees it has a character to it. But the question is now, so you have a clash, but based upon the character which is viewed based upon the ikar, versus the character of the based upon the what you say, what you finalize and you say. So the question is how do you define it? What defines the character of the bracha? Do you define it based upon the ikar, because that's the essential character property part of the bracha? Or do you define it based upon the chasima, because that's explicit? So what wins out, the explicit or the more fundamental? You know what I mean, how do you define it? Because you have a clash. So that's another way to learn. I don't know. I'm not sure which way. I think I like the first way better, but I'm not really. They're both good spots. And Rashi doesn't come and say the other, but it's hard to. I mean, you didn't mention yesterday. It's hard to prove from what Rashi doesn't say there. But either way, I mean, it just yeah. So I can see going either way. So I have to say that it has a character to it, is that you have no right, the idea of a mantra is you have no right to just say, Baruch Hashem, Kana Ha'olam. It's an abstract realization of the abstract idea of God. You have no right to say that. The right to say it is that it is a recognition, it is the beginning of, that you're involved in beginning the Borei Pri Gafen. And how would you begin your Borei Pri Gafen? By Baruch Hashem, Kana Ha'olam. That's the permit. Your permit to say Baruch Hashem, Kana Ha'olam is not just to make an expression of Kana Ha'olam. It's to begin your recognition of the one who gave vines, through the Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. So that is its identity, that's its character. The character of the Baruch Hashem Ha'olam is the beginning of, starting Borei Pri Gafen. Or do you say no? That I have a permit. I have a permit to say Baruch Hashem Ha'olam based on the fact that I'm going to do it. That's why I'm doing it. That's why I'm doing it. But it doesn't mean that's the definition of the entity. So how does what you're thinking factor in? Because I'd say is that if you say that the permit to say Baruch Hashem Kana Ha'olam is that it is the beginning of blank, so you have to, what's the beginning of? You have no right, you can't just say Baruch Hashem Ha'olam unless you have a particular thought in mind. You can't just say it and say, I'll see what I'm going to say later, because that's not, the permit to say it is that you have a clear plan of action, that you have a fruit, you're about to say Baruch Hashem Ha'olam or whatever, and now you have a right to say it. So the permit is that you know what you're saying. You can't just say it and then figure out what you're going to do. The bracha doesn't work that way. You know, so the bracha needs You have it. So you're thinking, what are you thinking? What is the Brahman? You know what I mean? So if you say that, whatever you're thinking, that is the character. I mean, how am I allowed to say this thing? Because I'm thinking, Brahman, and I'm going to finish the very pretty often. So if you say that the Brahman is that it is the beginning of blank, well, how does the blank get filled in at the beginning? Oh, based on your thoughts. So it naturally calls on your thoughts, you know what I mean? So you may not need kavanah. I mean, you need kavanah and bracha. I mean, you have to be thinking. Everyone makes a bracha, whatever you think. You're obviously making it for a reason. Because how are you going to finish? And you're saying in the beginning, well, what's your plan of action here, you know? Right, that's good. That's the kavanah. The kavanah is that it is the beginning of blank. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking bracha. I'm beginning this thing. The other side also agrees that your permit is that you're beginning that, but it's not the character of the text. It's not luckily the character of the shevach. The shevach I'm saying is an abstract shevach to God, but I don't have any right to do that if not for the fact that I am going to finish it that way. So they're both agreeing philosophically what's happening.
It doesn't matter what you're thinking.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you're thinking. I mean. You have to, I mean, yeah, it doesn't define the entity. I mean, still, it doesn't matter what you think, because you wouldn't have a right to do it if not for the fact that you were planning on finishing it.
Why isn't that a problem?
What's the problem? If you say it's the matir, if you just say that it's the matir or the gabra, but it doesn't have the character to it, so the matir is that I'm going to make this bracha on this food that I'm about to eat, and I'm going to say shevach on it. Now, I happen to think that it was grapes, and it turns out it wasn't, so fine, but the matir isn't the particular, I mean, it's the particular thing, that activity that I'm doing. I'm about to enjoy a food, and my right to say Rosh Hashanah Olam is the fact that I'm giving praise on this food. Now, it turns out I didn't realize I had the wrong food in mind, but that's irrelevant. In terms of my permit, I wasn't, which means, like, the idea of the permit means I can't just go around just saying, but I was mistaken, so I thought it was this kind of food. It doesn't affect the matir. But if you say that the matir works its way into the definition of the shava, so it is the beginning of, then beginning of what? Can't say the beginning of praise on this food, which, I mean, then it has to have a character to it. So then it has a character, then, you know, then you get problems.
The point is you have...
Right, exactly. A permit is a permit. Right? A permit, if it's just a permit for the gavra, it means you had a right to do it. You have a right or you don't have a right. It doesn't have a character. What's your permit? I have a permit. Whatever. What do you care? My permit is my permit. You know?
But the right is the problem.
At the end of the day, it all worked out well. My matir was there, I was going to formulate a bracha, and I did end the formulated bracha, and the bracha is defined by what I ended with. And that was my thought originally. Now, it turns out I thought I was going to end one way and ended a different way. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Quickly look at the Rambam. We should hopefully just do this tomorrow. But let's just get the basic shot of the thing here, so we're all on the same page. So the Rambam says it's in Perchas Halacha Yiralef. Okay? And you look carefully, it's... he has the wrong case, okay, arguably. Okay? Lekach kos shel shecher biyado. If you take a glass of beer in your hand, v'hiskel abrachal manaslam shakal, and you finish it thinking that you're going to finish shakal. Shakal is the right bracha. You take a kos of beer, and you think you're going to finish saying shakal. V'ta'av omer b'rir gafen. And then you make a mistake, and by accident, you finish it wrong. So the ikar was right, and you finish it wrong, right? This is the opposite of the way in our Gemara, right?
Yes.
It's the opposite. The Gemara was you started wrong and you finished it right. Here you start right, but you finish it wrong. Ein machzir noso. You don't go back. Okay, you don't go back. Okay, you don't go back. It's still good. You said the wrong thing. You said the wrong thing. But I guess the beginning was right. The beginning was right.
Well, you said you go by the ikar.
Go with ikar. V'cheinim ha'ilfan ha'peros ha'aretz. Also, if you have in front of you fruits of the ground, okay, hadamas, fruit vegetables. V'hiskel, this is chesir alf. V'hiskel ha'bracha n'rachas. V'hiskel ha'bracha al-manas lom re'pei damas. So you're going to say re'pei damas. V'ta'av on re'pei ha'etz. And it turns out you say ha'etz, which is meant for fruits. Okay, ma'am, so it's okay. V'cheinim ha'ilfan ha'tash shal dargan. You have like a, let's say, some sort of a cereal. Right, which is mizonos. You finish off with hamotzi. It's also good because you started good. Because at the time that you mentioned Shem Hashem and Malchus, Hashem Lekeinu Ha'olam, Shehen Ikar HaBracha, which are the essence of the bracha. Lo Niskavin El HaBracha Haruya Lo Samen. You were intending only for the proper bracha, the right thing. The whole of Aloha, you be Ikra Brachatos, and since in the essence of the Bracha there's no mistake, Afa pisha tov sofa. Even though you finished with you made a mistake at the end, yatsa, you're okay. Vein mazir nosa, and you'll go back. Okay. So first of all, the Rambam's learning the case differently, but he's saying you go by the Iker. Okay. The problem is, first of all, the Gemara didn't conclude which way. The Gemara never concludes. Okay. That's one of the questions they ask. As the Rambam, so could you say the Rambam's going lekula? He's just saying you go with lenience. It's a suffix. The Gemara ends off on a suffix. Usually it's a darabanan. You just lenient. But so what would the Rambam say in our case? What would the Rambam say in our case? Because here the Iker is bad. So you could say, you would say then it's bad.
Yeah.
But then you're saying the Rambam's poskening like the Iker side. But the Gemara didn't posken that way. Then the question is, how the Rambam know to posken that way? If the Rambam's going lekula, just lenient, so then in our case also he should go lenient. But then you could say, why doesn't he say that? And that's already, you know, he's going lenient both ways. He should say something like that. I don't know. That's a problem.
Doesn't the Rambam...
Not clear. Not clear. I don't know. I want to look in the Rif. The Rif didn't. I think he had singer son, huh? Maybe I'll look in the Reina Chanal. I wanted to look in Reina Chanal. But I don't think we have Reina Chanal on the side, right? But they say, Rizikatala said that the Rambam used Girsas. They're often like the Reina Chanal or the Rif. That he had his Girsas. So I have the book. My father's house, he has a book. I don't think we have it in Yeshiva. But Reina Chanal has like his, on the all of whatever he wrote on. I think he has on Brachos. Hopefully I'll check it.
But
both. So whatever we have on the sides, you know, but he wrote on more Masechtas than our Gemaras actually have it, you know. So that's kind of has both. Usually the Rambam have a little bit of the Gemara, but intermingled the Pirush, you know. So look at the Ravid. Amar Avraham. Kol ma shekasav elo hanyanim. All the things that the Rambam wrote in these matters, hakol hevel. They're all nonsense. Because we only go by what he said. What he said explicitly. So the question is, what's bothering the Ravid? I mean, the Gemara asks a question. Right? Did the Ravid not have this Gemara? I mean, the Gemara says, do you go by the Iker? Do you go by the... Right? Do you go by the Iker? Do you go by the Chasima? Whatever. I mean, did the Ravid not... The Ravid's not making up that we go by what you're thinking. I mean, this is the case in the Gemara. What did the Ravid's... Is the Ravid upset that the Rambam's passing like one side? Don't call it Hevel. It's not stupid. It's nonsense. Because why? Because he passing like the wrong side. There's not the modern passing. So what he's saying? It's all nonsense. Why is it all nonsense? We only go by what you said, as if that's what we said. The first thing the whole sugya started. Of course, who cares what you're thinking? But I mean, there's a Gemara. The Rambam's not just making it up. So what's it's pretty strong, right? What's bothering him?
Yeah, it's a good question on the Ravid.
Good question on the Ravid, right? Okay, so this is, you got your homework. There's all the way, the Rambam has, there's another case. There's another big problem in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Kriyashma says the opposite. He says, it gets complicated, but in Kriyashma he says you go by the Chasima. You go by what you said.
Riff has like our Gemara.
Riff has like our Gemara, okay,
and
yeah.
The Rabbeinu explains it to Rambam.
The Rabbeinu explains the Rambam. He had a whole different, if you'll see, the Kesem Mishle asks. The Rabbeinu says, learns the way the Rambam's case is that you say the right thing and then you change. Tochei Dibor.
Well, it derives from our Gemara, right?
Yeah, I know, but the Rambam doesn't say that. The Kesem Mishnah asks. It's got a big Kesem Mishnah. If you want to see, probably the biggest Kesem Mishnah you've ever seen. It's on our thing. It's an Aleph Chas. Okay, it's pretty big. Yeah, and a Kriyashma. But he basically says, I don't know whether Vinyana got this. You read our Rambam, it doesn't say anything like that. He says, you say, like that. Oh, so then that's how he learns the Rambam's learning the case. You change in the middle like that. You said the first thing and then you change. Our Rambam doesn't say that. It's not in our Rambam. So I don't know. It's funny. You know, and he just learns this. I'm happy I saw the Kesem Mishnah yesterday. I just saw this morning. But I mean, I just like kind of gave up. I mean, I'm sure he had a spar for it, but I don't know where Rabbeinu Yonah got it from. Maybe he had a different gears or something. But our Rambam just simply doesn't say that. Tov Kedei Dibor, right. Manas Lomar Shachol V'Tov V'Omer. But he doesn't say you said it. I mean, I don't know. Just, I don't know how he knows that. I mean, I don't have an answer for that. But the Kesem Mishnah just rejects it. But I mean, there's this stuff going on here. So I guess, so hopefully we'll try for tomorrow. I mean, this is hard. It's a little bit hard. But let's try the Rambam and the Ravid. You'll see, they asked the Rambam about this, actually. They asked, the Chacham Yonel asked the Rambam about it. And he gave a little explanation. But you know, I'll tell you about it a different time. Okay, I mean, it makes things a little more complicated. But I think it's... it'll be better for us to try to work on the Rambam without that. And it doesn't essentially change things. It just kind of puts tweaks it a little bit. Okay? If you look, if you want to see it, you can look at the Migdalos, quotes the Tshuva. Migdalos in the bottom. But I guess the question is, what's the Machlokes Rambam Ravid?
Yeah.
What's the Machlokes Rambam? What's the Rambam's problem? What's the Rambam's deal? Is it legitimate that the Rambam just changes the case like that? Does it matter? Does it not matter? Think it through. Should it matter? Should the Svar carry over? Should it not carry over? Is it the same? Is it different? You know, like, what's the issue here? What's he doing? I mean, also, what would he hold in the regular case? I mean, I don't know about it. I don't necessarily know the answer to all these things. It's funny what he's doing. But, I mean, why is he doing that? Why doesn't he bring down the regular case of the Gemara? What's the halacha in that case? He doesn't have it. He just doesn't have it. I mean, so I don't know. It's just... Yeah.
Is it?